Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It is that time of year again, holiday office party time. Time to relax, kick back, celebrate the season, and turn up a little. Or is it? How hard can you party at the office party? What other don'ts are there that you should avoid? My guests are here to help you keep your job tonight. Dr. Vanessa Weaver is CEO of Alignment Strategies and Diversity and Inclusion Expert. And Jacqueline Baker is an etiquette and leadership coach. I want to hear from you about your office party experiences. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Weaver, good to see you.
Good to see you.
And
Happy holidays.
Thank you so much. And can you say Merry Christmas? Or
Merry Christmas.
Can you say that at the holiday party?
Yeah, I say
it. Yeah, okay, I'm just checking.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
There you go.
Kwanzaa.
The whole bit.
Yeah.
And Jacqueline, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, before we even get into the do's and the don'ts of what happens at the holiday party, Dr. Weaver, I'll ask you, why is it important to attend a holiday party?
Well, it's important to attend a holiday party because that's one of the rituals that organizations go through to connect their people together, to continue building on relationships, because in organizations, it's the informal aspects of that culture, of organizational culture, that really helps drive relationships. So it's another way of really solidifying relationships,
mm-hmm,
by connecting in an informal way. And I was going to say, what's interesting about it, given we were going to have this topic today, I said, let me just see what the research is saying about holiday parties and multicultural individuals, because, of course, that's the space I operate in Alignment Strategies. And what the data says is that often these are holiday parties are really challenging for multicultural people, you know, Black, Latina, Asian people, if they're in a predominantly white organization.
Why?
And I thought, well, you know, it's kind of consistent, mm-hmm, with my experience and also the experiences of others that we've dealt with. And what it says is that many times multicultural people feel that these holiday parties are trying to basically present a dynamic of cohesion and interaction and acceptance and inclusion, when often that isn't the experience that many of them feel before the party. And so they feel they're expected to come and participate in ways socially that they've been excluded from in the informal social network before the holiday time. So it's like this disconnect that many of them feel, and they wonder, you know, how are they supposed to show up? How are they supposed to act? You know, how are they supposed to assume that they have these personal relationships when many of the relationships have been pretty much transactional?
Interesting. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the company holiday party. It is that time of the year. What are the do's and don'ts? We're trying to keep you from making a career-ending decision at the party. So give us a call if you have a comment or a question. Okay, so let us talk about some do's first, Jacqueline. Let us assume that this is either a corporate holiday party or, like we are here in Washington, a federal government, mm-hmm, town. What are some of the do's? What are some of the foundational things that you should do at a holiday party?
Yeah, so I have to back up to Dr. Vanessa's statement first. And where a lot of people get confused when it comes to corporate holiday parties is that we hear the word party,
mm-hmm,
and we forget that the corporate holiday party is just an extension of the office. It's not this, you know, just freely turn up like you would with your friends.
Correct.
Because I have parties with my girlfriends where turning up definitely happens, right? But it does not happen when company holiday comes before the party, mm-hmm, right? And I think, you know, the most the most important thing, I believed, and the one area where people often get stuck is when we see all those bottles of wonderful liquor and wine, and if it's an open bar, we're like, oh yes, this is, I'm going to try everything, right? Don't let that open bar at your company party on Friday have you unemployed on Monday. And I think that is that? The first one is to know your limits.
Exactly.
Like, I know 2 glasses of wine is all I got in me, right? After that, things start to get a little bit skeptical for me. And so know your limits. Like, know what you are capable of consuming. And that's just table stakes, right? And I think the second one should be an easier one as well is, know that your company holiday party attire choices are not the same as your girlfriend night out attire choices. Is it a little bit too short? Is it a little bit too tight? You know, was there a theme that you just refused to participate in for whatever reason? You know, I quite frankly don't like theme parties, but I probably would think twice about, am I going to try to fit into this theme party if there is one? So that's number two is attire. And the third one is the types of conversations that we choose to have in our holiday parties. A lot of times we think that that's a good time for us to talk about raises and negotiations and, you know, is this an opportunity for me to get a leg up in my career? It could be, but being strategic about it is important. And are you building relationships that makes it easier to have those conversations about raises in the office? Or are you going at it hard trying to negotiate a raise right there at the company holiday party?
And in fact, the truth of the matter is if you have to wait to the holiday party to negotiate a raise or to make some pivotal connections, that suggests that there's some things that need to be focused on more before you get to the party.
Yeah.
Because the party isn't really designed to deliver all against all of that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Precisely.
Well, what is the holiday party for?
Well, it's funny. You know, it's while it's about having fun, it really is more about making connections and I think getting exposure to people that often don't work in the same offices together. So it's a way of creating or continuing this sense of community. But it's really not supposed to be fun like
a party.
Your party party, right?
Not a get low party.
Yeah, get low party.
Yeah.
Right.
Some new terms here from Jacqueline.
Are they new terms? Are they new terms?
No, turn
they're
up.
Not
I was,
new
I was
terms.
Turn up, get low.
Turn up, get low. I was thinking, boy, I don't really know what all that is.
Vanessa says, I'm going to be.
Dr. Vanessa, you know what turn up means.
Vanessa says, I'm going to be right in the middle. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the office holiday party. What are the do's and the don'ts? What do you need to make sure you are not doing so that you get to keep your job the following week? Let's talk to Dan. Dan calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Dan. What's on your mind?
No problem. Happy holidays to everyone.
You
happy
too.
Happy holidays to you.
Well, we just recently went through our little holiday party just yesterday, and what I wanted to say is even though political sides were taken after, 45 took over, I must say that having a holiday party sets those points of views aside, and just to have a good time, fellowship. And it was a pretty good time. Couldn't complain. And again, I think it's just the fact that it's the Christmas season. I think people just set aside their political views and then just want to have a good old time.
Okay. Dan, thank you so much. He makes an interesting point. Maybe that happened at his holiday party. And I think that you would hope that politics is set aside. But that isn't always the case.
Correct.
It's often not the case. You know, it is often that, that age-old rule about let's not talk about politics and religion in the workplace. You know,
politics, religion, and sex.
Right. Let's not talk about those things in the workplace. It's often not talked about. And I think one of the reasons right now why it is – I'm sorry, it is – it often – those rules are often broken And one of the reasons right now is because it's so contentious that it's like, well, we got to talk about it at some point, yeah. right? And that is an interesting thing. Dan was talking about, I was thinking about how do we arm people with tools around what if someone is really in your face and trying to push you to talk about those things and you're uncomfortable about it at a company holiday party. Mm-hmm. And how I tend to address those things is one of two ways. I either address it head on by saying, you know what, we're having such a good time tonight. Let's not even make things messy right now.
Right.
Or I may address it with humor. Like, mm-hmm. You know, that's funny. I'm glad you have that perspective. That's not mine. Let's move on, kind of thing. So it depends on your style and how you tend to address things. But I think I still believe that in mixed company and in times when you feel like it is just going to end up throwing some blows, let's leave that stuff off the table. But we know that that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, particularly with the millennial population, who is now our largest population mm-hmm. in the workforce, they have an expectation that you should be able to talk about
anything,
and that it's important to be woke and to be open and to be transparent. And so sometimes the boundaries that might have governed me when I started my career at Procter mm-hmm. & Gamble some decades ago, they're shifting and people are not quite clear. So I was really excited about the work that you do, Jacqueline, in terms of looking at etiquette mm-hmm. and how this plays into leadership, because we're trying to figure it out. And then for multicultural millennials, it becomes even more challenging in terms of knowing what the rules are, what you say, what you don't say, and then how do you be your authentic self?
Yeah.
Not just in terms of whether you drink or not, but just how do you show up in a way that is, you know, that is truly who you are mm-hmm. and that requires people to deal with you as you are.
And what's interesting is there have been millennials that I've spoken to who are completely unaware. Like, you mm-hmm. just assume that they know, like, you probably shouldn't just walk up to me and ask me, am I Jewish, you know, or am yeah. I Christian? Like, just flat out just ask me. Mm-hmm. And I'll pause for a second and I'll say, well, why'd you ask me that? Well, and some, no, they responded, well, I just wanted to know. Mm-hmm. And then when I inform them, well, that's not actually appropriate for us to be talking about right now, some of them are ghastly, like, shocked, like, really? That's yeah. We do this on social media all the time or in our chat rooms. And a lot of them that I've spoken with, who I've just been frank with, like, yeah, that's really not appropriate, and I don't want these types of interactions to mess up your career, they're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes yeah. it is just a matter of awareness yeah. and how you deliver it.
Yeah, and it's a different value orientation, yeah. too. It really is, because, you know, the millennials with social media and whatever are much more comfortable dealing with their differences and talking about it and being more candid. And so why should that change when you're at a holiday party, mm-hmm. since this is something that many organizations are encouraging? I know in some of the work that we do, we are working with organizations around having courageous conversations about race, having courageous conversations about gender equity, mm-hmm. you know, Me Too and those kind of movements. And so if you're having those kind of conversations on an ongoing basis, and then you have a holiday party and all of a sudden that's not allowed mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. that's discouraged, it seems like there is a contradiction in what the corporation is really espousing. And yeah. so many companies are really struggling with how to deal with that. And, you know, what are the right and acceptable mores now versus
before? Who sets the tone at the holiday party? If do you follow the lead of the CEO if he or she likes to get on the dance floor and, what did you say, drop it low.
I don't know why we're pretending like we don't know what drop it low means here.
Not at my holiday party.
What does drop it low mean?
I bet you there was just a different term for it.
Yeah, that's
at some
right.
point.
Like, get down?
Get low.
Get down with your bad self,
Vanessa.
I'm dating
myself.
That's right. You jive turkey. Right?
I'm sure that's what many of my millennial employees say. Dr. Weaver, please.
but you know, all jokes aside, yeah. if you see that, if you see the CEO and he or she is really cutting up, whether it's on the dance floor or getting loud, lampshade on the head, mm-hmm. is that the tone that is that the tone of the party?
It could be the tone of the party, but that may not be representative of your values mm-hmm. and the values right. that you right. want to represent, right? I, you know, I believe that everyone has leadership abilities. We all can lead at whatever level that we're at, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't necessarily look at a CEO and say, what that CEO is doing, I need to copy that in order to be successful mm-hmm. myself, right? If that's what they choose to do, we know that if the CEO is doing something, I may not exactly be able to copy that thing and get away with it.
Most of the time,
okay?
You can't.
98% of the time.
Time you can't.
Right.
And you talked about a lampshade on the head.
Right.
You know, we find that for women and for multicultural individuals, certain things that others feel like they have the freedom and the discretion to do mm-hmm. aren't always available mm-hmm. For you to do. And in fact, they'll follow you longer than maybe the leader in the organization.
Absolutely.
You know, so they'll forget sometime what the leader did, but they'll oftentimes remember what you did. So I think it's really important that that you're clear what is really appropriate and acceptable for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your brand and how do you want that brand to continue in the organization post this party?
Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean you can't dance and have fun, because I think you should. Mm-hmm. I think that's all a way of connecting. But dancing with a lampshade,
yeah,
that takes it to another level.
That doesn't even sound fun. Yeah. That doesn't even sound fun.
But there have been parties where people do
I know,
that.
But I'm saying it's just, I want to see.
Dancing on top of the table.
Yeah.
You know, in some parties, when they get, you know, really kind of drunk or near drunk, you know, doing strip kind of things.
Oh, my.
So there have been a lot of holiday parties that have
Absolutely.
Been problematic. In fact, a third of the companies we're interviewed say they're not having holiday parties anymore because
so
of the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. And if they're having parties, they're not having more than wine.
Yeah.
And they are really suggesting that the bartenders limit how much wine they serve people.
Yeah.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, and here's a really critical question among the others that we're going to be addressing: should you bring your spouse or your mate to a party? Something to think about as well. We're talking about holiday parties and not making career-ending decisions at that holiday party. Please stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM, channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHPC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about the holiday office party. What are the do's and what are the don'ts? What should you do to make sure that you still have a job the week after that holiday party? My guests are here to help you with that. Dr. Vanessa Weaver is CEO of Alignment Strategies and a diversity and inclusion expert. Also, Jacqueline Baker is an etiquette and leadership coach. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Andre calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so, you know, I actually put together a lot of holiday parties, and I always stress that, you know, trying to come on to that young lady that you might think is hot on the job, that is not the appropriate time to you know, advance and try and, you know, get a date or whatever. You can end up in HR the following Monday. And also, you know, as an African-American, you know, I believe that, you know, people judge us based on, you know, how we act in public. So, you know, I'm always on point at these parties. And, you know, to not come off as, you know, shuffling or minstrelsy type stuff. I just, you know, it's just really time that we really focus on trying to present the best image, because other cultures and other people are always looking at us, and they can judge everybody based on the actions of one.
Your thoughts about that? Well, first of all, if I may say, I I heard a red flag when he said hot. That to me already is a red flag, even though we are, I get it for this discussion. But if you are in at the office party, just thinking about that coworker who is, you know, hot, that's already problematic. Am I off base?
Absolutely.
Here?
I mean, and you, let's be real. Maybe you do think that,
yeah,
right? But you control your actions regardless of what you're thinking. You should control your actions. Quite frankly, I would be mindful and careful about looking at a colleague in a dateable way, even when it's not the company holiday party, quite frankly. I know some people do date in the office, but it gets messy. But specifically the holiday party, I would highly recommend that you don't try to come on to colleagues that you think are attractive or that your guard is dropped and you're not as professional. Mm-hmm. This is still an extension of the workplace.
It's a big no.
Yeah, it is a big no. Thank you for that, Andre. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Andre. I appreciate
that. Well, it's interesting,
that.
Though. Like 8 out of 10 people that date meet people in their workplaces that they date.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really creates a big complicating issue here.
Yeah, I was about to say, because, and that's historic,
mm-hmm,
and particularly as we've seen over the past 40 to 50 years more women entering the workforce. Mm-hmm. Workforce. But with that said, and I think Jacqueline put a fine point on it, that it can get messy.
Yeah.
And in the Me Too era,
mm-hmm,
it just doesn't seem to be a safe thing to do, particularly when you've had two glasses of wine.
Yes.
And there is, your guard has dropped,
mm-hmm,
whether it's your guard that has dropped or his guard that has dropped or what have you.
Well, it's interesting in the Me Too era, a lot of people blame Me Too, but it was never appropriate, really, to make advances on a woman or a woman to make advances on a man if it was unwarranted and not accepted. So I think Me Too kind of allows us to put kind of a label on it, but it's always been problematic if that's not what's wanted, you know, what's warranted.
Well, my point was that it was never appropriate, but there was a time when it wasn't spoken about. It was
more tolerated.
Yeah, it was tolerated. Now, watch out.
Yeah,
because it is no longer tolerated. And of course, as we have seen post Anita Hill, that there are laws that also address those things.
Definitely. Again, like I said, that's why a third of the companies are saying we're not going to even have these holiday parties. And if they have them, they're not serving hard liquor and encouraging people to drink. And also, the HR departments often tell the supervisors and the leaders how they're supposed to act. So, you know, getting drunk and, you know, really frivolous, like you said, dancing on the floor with lampshades and all of that.
We're not going to let this one go.
No, we're not.
I love the symbolism of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it gives you just such a picture, right, of what it is.
Right.
But they really are very clear what they expect their leadership to do and not do in these parties.
Yeah, I mean, there are some companies that I know that they will allow alcohol, but you have to purchase it yourself, which
mm-hmm
I think sometimes causes another problem, because then you're thinking, well, I'm purchasing my own alcohol, so it's not on the company's dime. But that's even a bigger issue, right?
Yeah.
Because you took onus on purchasing this yourself, right? So I think you also have to just ask yourself a question in
mm-hmm
going to these parties. Most of us know our limits, right? We know after how many glasses of whatever or around certain types of people, maybe I get a little bit more flirtier than other times. And you have to just be honest with yourself and ask yourself the question, where is my limit? Where is my safeguard, my safe zone where I know I'm going to stop at one glass, or I'm not going to dance. I'm not going to accept a dance from X person because I know that that is going to really boost my confidence in a way I don't need it boosted at the company holiday party and
mm-hmm
do something that I'm going to regret. So I think let's just self-reflect here and just ask ourselves, really, what are my guardrails going to be so that I can ensure that my career isn't ruined because of this one party?
Erring on the side of caution.
Absolutely.
And you made an important point earlier, and that's really understanding why there are holiday parties.
Yes.
And so there, it's not the same objective as you have for a social, what did you call it? Turn up or turn down, whatever. It's not the same as that kind of party.
Right,
so you
it's
have to
not.
Be really clear about that.
Absolutely.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Spirit calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for hanging on, Spirit. What's on your mind?
Hello, good evening.
Hi, Spirit.
I just wanted to say that I think the holiday Christmas party is a good idea. I've always had a good experience. I think that it's a good time for people to interact socially, even if they don't interact that much during the year. And maybe to work on communication better, how to communicate better in the office during the year.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a party once, and we had to purchase gifts for each other, and everyone pitched in and bought a gift, but mm-hmm. at the end of the party, there were a couple of people without gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was kind of weird.
A couple of people didn't purchase.
Yeah.
Maybe it was saying something about how we communicate in that office.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
my overall opinion is that the holiday Christmas party is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, Spirit, thank you so much for sharing. And she brings up an interesting point about the gift exchange. How should that be done as far as how much should be spent, but also you don't want to get anything that's strange or inappropriate, mm-hmm. you know.
Or re-gift it.
I'm okay with re-gifting, actually. I'm all right if we give certain rules of yours.
You don't know.
Right?
You don't know about that.
Well, what are the rules around re-gifting?
There are a couple rules. One is, if you can, make sure it's in its original packaging.
Okay.
Right?
Not that you wanted to use it or whatever.
Right, exactly. Two is make sure you're not giving a gift back to somebody that gave it to you. Right?
Like last year's fruitcake.
Right. Or, Jesus, throw them all in the garbage. All
he
the fruitcakes.
He has fruit a fruitcake. Now it's a fruitcake with the lampshade on.
On the floor.
I think you've had some experience with these parties here.
Experiences you have to tell us about?
Not at all. You know, not even in the least. You know, my fruitcake days are over. But I think that there are times when you really have to think about the kind of gift that you're going to mm-hmm. to purchase. Something you want to be safe,
mm-hmm.
but you also don't want to be for lack of a better term.
I think that just having some rules, setting some parameters that are, even if it's five steps, like, hey, we're all going to spend no more than $20 a mm-hmm. piece. Right. Maybe if it's a theme, I think that themes are good.
That's
if it's a cooking theme, then
we
know that people are probably going to, you know, you're not going to end up with something that is going to be risky.
Yeah.
So I think if you just set some overall themes and guardrails, that tends to work a lot better. Mm-hmm. And I think to make it clear, don't take a gift if you didn't put a gift in the pot.
Absolutely.
Because that's what happened, I think, in Spirit's situation is somebody took a gift and they didn't give anything to the pot.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. You know, the data suggests that like 60% of people like the idea of having holiday parties.
Mm-hmm.
They look forward to it. They want to go to them and they enjoy them. So it's not like it's a negative on the majority of people. And so it really becomes a problem in that third of population. 30% of people hate the parties because they don't want to network or they mm-hmm. feel like it's a waste of time or if it's something that's being forced on them. So having an attitude check is also very important in going to your holiday parties.
Yeah.
And I really think that people need to think about something. Don't buy a bottle of wine for your coworker who is a recovering alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Don't bake peanut butter Christmas cookies for the coworker who has a peanut allergy.
Yeah.
I mean, you really do have to think about
gift cards.
Gift cards, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Solid.
The other issue that I brought up before the break, and I think this is an extremely important issue, should you bring your spouse or your mate, your significant other, to the Christmas party? And what determines whether you should or should not?
Yeah.
Well, I think most companies or most groups establish kind of what the terms are for the party. You know, so it's bring a guest or it's just for the employees only. So I think it you ought to respect whatever those conditions are that have been set first, and that you should go by those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that completely. And because I have seen some instances where someone has insisted on bringing their spouse in situations where the company holiday requirements where we're not paying for you and your spouse, but they've just insisted on it for whatever reason. And if you just insist, if you just feel like my spouse has to be there and you know they're not allowed, then you need to not go to that party. Like, right. If you just feel like you can't live at this party without your spouse being there, then mm-hmm. don't break the rules and bring them.
Yeah. Because
that's going to reflect negatively on you as well.
Yeah.
You can't follow
the
rules.
That's a big no-no, right? Yeah. But let me ask you this, Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. What about when you're invited to come to a party and your guest or spouse is invited to come or, whom you know, significant mm-hmm. other, and they don't want to come, and then you decide maybe you shouldn't come? I mean, how do you advise people for that?
It's
your job, and
I don't think that if a spouse doesn't want to come, mm-hmm. I think that the spouse shouldn't come. And the reason why I say that is because you know how it is when you're places and you don't want to come.
Attitude.
Your body language, everything reflects. And I say this. I'm an ambivert. I'm not an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. I'm right in the middle, which means that I hit a social wall quicker than a lot of other people. And because of that, my husband and I sometimes go to events separately because I hit my social wall and I'm like, I just socially turn off before he does. Mm. And so just knowing, I know that about myself. And so he often doesn't force me to come to stuff where he knows that I got 45 minutes of good, hard networking. After that, I'm done. And I know that. And so I think that if your spouse doesn't want to come, let's just be grown people and let's just network and talk to other people.
But you should still come. You
absolutely.
Saying that person should come
and
to their
there's
job.
And there's nothing wrong with showing up, letting people know that you're there, and then leaving.
Absolutely. Completely agree.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to shut the place
down.
Yeah. There's another term.
There it is.
I tell you.
Knew that one, though.
Right.
You knew that one.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, here's a question. What if your spouse or significant other does not fit in with your workspace, your work culture? How do you address that? We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about holiday parties and how not to make a career-ending mistake. We'll be back in a moment.
That's a great
question. Dave.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about holiday office parties, the do's and the don'ts. Before the break, I was asking about bringing one's spouse or significant other to the party. What if they don't necessarily fit in with the culture? Let us say, for example, that you work for a construction firm that's mostly guys, for example, and your wife wants to wear a little, lace and something, delicate when the culture suggests, hey, just kind of come as you are, or vice versa. If you do work for a Fortune 500 company and your husband is not of that culture, but you want him to be included and they say you can bring your spouse or significant other, do you have to sit down and talk to him like your child before you leave home?
I don't think it's necessary to talk to them like a child, but I do think that it's necessary to set them up for success.
What do you mean by that?
What is the attire, right? So if the attire is casual and I see that my spouse has decided to pick out a ball gown, I'm going to say the attire is casual and I don't really know if this is casual. And, I mean, you could not say anything, and then I think that that's going to end up being contentious when they get to the party because they're going to feel uncomfortable. You set them up for failure.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I've seen it being really problematic is oftentimes when the spouse is LGBT, one of them is, they're gay gay and you've not been out about it. And so people struggle with, well, is this the time that I want to really out, my
relationship.
My relationship and my commitment. And, or I used to also see it in couples there where there was mixed couples, and one of the other parties was uncomfortable or felt that their partner would be uncomfortable coming to the party because they're of a different race, mm-hmm. or people didn't know. And I think both parties have to have a conversation with each other around, you know, how do they want to show up? And, you know, my preference is to be transparent. But the point, if you're waiting to the party to start, for mm-hmm. that to be the first time you're being transparent, then I think it's not creating an opportunity for success. You follow what I'm saying? If, mm-hmm. if this is the time you're going to come out or showcase whatever, then I think it's going to introduce more problems and you're having to be more open about it and having it as just a normal part of your life.
Mm-hmm. Here's a sticky situation. We've spoken earlier about approaching colleagues that you think are attractive or what have you. But what if you walk in on coworkers that are commiserating in a closet?
You close it.
Yeah. But how do you address that on Monday, if at all?
I don't think you do.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. You close it.
Right.
You close the closet door. It is... It's not my business. Like, yeah. if it is, you know, now if somebody's being assaulted in the closet.
No, I'm not talking about
that's different.
No. But if
two consensual yeah. adults are engaging in behavior that you wouldn't engage in, you're side-eyeing that, like, well, that's not right. That's their business. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to write memos about it. It's not my business.
Now, if one or both of them approach you on Monday, how do you address it?
Do you approach you in terms of...
In other words...
to make sure you don't say anything.
Right. I mean, if they apologize or what have you, do you respond, I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it any energy just to say, whatever you did is your business. I'm not prepared or wanting to talk about that.
And then because these things do happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would even go so far as to say no apologies necessary.
Right.
And continue on my work day.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Rosh Hashanah. All that.
All of that.
Right. Now, the challenge is if you're a supervisor and you see a subordinate of yours, someone who reports to you, and they're making out with somebody that reports to them, now that changes the dynamic of the situation.
It?
Yes.
Even if they're consenting?
Yes, because you know if your company has a rule that the supervisor doesn't have relationships with the people that report to them directly, and that person reports to you, now that sets up a totally different dynamic you have to deal with.
And so do you report it?
Well, minimally, you have a conversation with the individual because now the situation, you know, you talk about Me Too, but that person could, in fact, say that they were being harassed or being forced to engage in action. It could get very complicated. And so I would suggest that you have a conversation with your HR people and decide how to handle it.
Yeah, that's workplace violation.
Yeah.
That's a little different.
Let's kind of run through. We did talk about a lot of don'ts.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some do's when it comes to, let's talk about the etiquette piece.
Yeah. The one place where I see people miss out on opportunities at these holiday parties is truly building relationships and getting to know people. And I think of it the same way as on a Monday morning, if I know that Kim has been at soccer with her son all weekend, on Monday, in order to build a stronger relationship, I'm first going to ask her, how was your son's soccer match? Mm-hmm. Instead of just going straight into the business of the day, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to build those same relationships and follow that same process at a holiday party. I'm going to ask, how's your family? What are you doing this season? You know, I'm going to leave work off the table as much as possible because we can talk about work on Monday. So I think that we miss so many opportunities to build relationships and truly get to know people. Mm-hmm. At these holiday parties. So let's absolutely do that for sure.
And I think one of the reasons we miss building those relationships, because we haven't thought about a set of questions that mm-hmm. we want to have in the back of our minds
yes.
that you can use that would like allow for you to be ready and prepared to take advantage of the networking opportunity. So you find yourself kind of stuck and not knowing what to say.
Mm-hmm.
So in those situations, we say have three or four questions that are pretty good standard questions, conversation starters that you can kind of pull on
can
to make that
network. Can you give me some examples? Mm-hmm.
Well, Jacqueline gave some good ones, like, well, how's your family doing?
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, what are your plans for the holidays? Or, you know, you're taking vacation, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be some simple conversation starters like that that bring people into you.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just said something that struck me because, and this may be one of the cultural issues, and while it's not been an issue with me, but I have had conversations with people about, for example, vacation,
mm-hmm.
where some may say, how was your vacation? Where did you go? And they begin to clutch the pearls and they're taken aback. Well, that's none of your business.
Yeah.
And now, I think that's an overreaction. I know you went on vacation. I think that's a general question to ask.
Yeah.
And yet, And let's just be frank. A lot of black people really try to insulate
mm-hmm.
their lives outside of work from
inside.
From inside. And particularly those of the other cultures, other races. How can you, particularly at a holiday party, navigate that space without hurting someone else's feelings or coming off as evasive when there's just a simple question such as, well, I know you're going on vacation next week. Hey, where are you going?
I think that as people of color, multicultural people, we have to kind of understand what are the unwritten rules
mm-hmm.
of conversations and networking. And sometimes we, because of our culture, we've had to kind of protect what our lives are so other people won't make us more vulnerable. You know, it also kind of buffers you from creating and expanding relationships with others. And so I think that we have to say, if in fact I'm choosing to work in this organization and these are some informal rules, really the way that organizations really operate, I got to get clear in my mind around how I'm going to deal with that. And you need to have that conversation with yourself before you go to the party. Because there is certain party social chat that you have, that people have. And so having conversations about it to prepare yourself to engage in that is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think an extension of that, too, mm-hmm. is a tough question that I've been getting a lot when I teach etiquette classes all over the country.
You're in a book, too.
Yeah, it's called my book. Yeah, and there's a bunch of things and principles that will help people navigate the holiday party in my book, Leader by Mistake, as well. But I think that the one tough question that I get these days, particularly from black women, is around hair and what hairstyles am I allowed to wear or not allowed to wear in the workplace. And I'll be honest with you in saying that it is a tough question to answer for me, because I do believe that you should be able to show up as you are without being forced to straighten your hair or whatever. But I challenge them to ask the question when you're interviewing for a job, just as much as the employer is interviewing you, you need to be interviewing that organization. Is this the type of organization that's going to change me, that's mm-hmm. going to make me be different?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it's really, really important, even before you get to company holiday parties and such, to really take a look and see and ask around, what type of place is this?
Yeah.
Can I be my authentic self, right, mm-hmm. as much as you can be
right.
in corporate?
But I would also argue that geography plays a part
sure.
in it. It's one thing if you're in Washington, D.C. It's another thing if you're in Huntsville, Alabama.
Absolutely.
It's one thing if you are working at the Washington Post or even Amazon as opposed to a top 10 accounting firm.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times on the issue of hair in black women, and I know this was kind of a sidebar outside of the, mm-hmm. the holiday party thing, there are women in black women in those offices that often set the tone and
often break the glass ceiling when it comes to those cultural things mm-hmm. where once they do it and are able to have those kinds of conversations and with the quote unquote powers that be, especially if those particular black women in that workplace are indeed the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that's a good place to end this conversation. Look, Merry Christmas. Happy holiday.
And how many office parties are you going to?
Yes.
We're going to have one here.
Oh, good.
Will there be lampshades?
There will be no lampshades, but there will be microphones.
Oh.
And so be careful what you say. There you go. Dr. Vanessa Weaver and Jacqueline Baker, thank you both so much for joining
thank
this
you.
Conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank
that
you.
Is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, December 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Iron Waller, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.
The Howard University Radio Network.